Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And that conversation, it all starts with one simple question. Are you hanging or are you banging? Because when we're banging, that means we are growing our businesses, growing our revenue, growing as a team. I am here with Marcus Haney and Caroline Toth Gaines. Are you guys hanging or banging this morning?
I was up at 7 a.m. with you out at the Sacramento Republic Moving Dirt Day.
Yeah, so we were banging. We were at our very best opportunity, which means, you know, doing what we love, right? And we were out with the Sac Republic, and they had a huge announcement today. They are starting to move some dirt over there at the rail yard.
That's so cool to see. Yeah, so cool to see out there. Really cool to see the entrepreneurs of the world getting together, too.
No doubt. Now, Caroline, are you at your very best today? How you feeling?
I'm banging. Doing good.
There we go.
That a girl. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about teamwork and building culture. Now, both of you two are building businesses. So I would throw it over to you, Marcus, here. You're building your supply company. You're a small business. What does teamwork look like at Haney Industrial Supply?
Teamwork looks like partnered up with guys like Justin Booth over at Crown Distributing, trying to win bigger projects that could really advance the ball for the both of us.
But you've been on some great teams, and you know some teams, they don't really live up to expectation. Why is that?
Probably lack of cohesiveness at the top, right? So if the leader of the organization or the team doesn't have a good way of giving the overall command and control of the situation, then no one falls into line.
It's all about leadership. I mean, building teams, creating a culture, it begins with the leader. And you think about the Sac Republic and the potential move to MLS and the move to the rail yards once we get the MLS designation. That's about leadership. Kevin Nagel and his team of investors, which I am one of, have secured some property and they began moving dirt in a very entrepreneurial way. There is no guarantee that we're going to get MLS in the next 12 months, but they're beginning to spend some money and that's the entrepreneurial way. Now, Caroline Gaines, you are building a business yourself, public relations. Talk to us about what building that team looks like for Caroline Gaines Toth.
Yeah, it's all about finding the right people and plugging them into their strengths, and really empowering them to go and be a part of the team, make a difference, and have a fingerprint on the changes that are going on every day.
I think it's interesting that you say plug into their strength, because we've all seen movies like The Bad News Bears or Major League, where you know you've got this sort of set of misfits that have strengths that maybe aren't as obvious at first, but somehow these players, they find a way to come together and beat teams that might have more obvious talent. Why is that?
I think it starts with the power of listening and really understanding your teammates and also gaining their trust and respect and working together as a team.
Working together as a team. The best way to learn is by taking some time, taking your own ground balls, getting on a team, earning some game time, dirtying up that uniform. But the second best way to learn is by spending time with folks who are actually on the field, who have built teams and have the stains on their jersey to show for. And today we have some of those guys, but you know what? I don't know if you guys heard about that new Major League 3 movie that's coming out. It's the new movie. Did you guys hear about that?
Negative.
You know, okay, well, there's a surprise ending where all the players on the team, they end up taking a drug test. And you know what? They actually pass it. Later in the show, we're going to meet an entrepreneur and the master team builder, Justin Booth. Justin is the owner and president of the fast-growing restaurant supply company, Crown Distributing. But coming after the break, get ready to get a lesson on team building, because Chip Maxson is in the house. Chip is the ultimate squad builder and the general manager of our very own Sacramento Rivercats. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. Brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
Right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by the general manager of the Sacramento Rivercats, Chip Maxson. How you doing, Chip?
Mark, I'm banging, buddy. Glad to be here.
I love it. You are at your very best. And I have a question for you because, you know, it's, a lot of us, we dream about being pro baseball players or pro football players. But, I mean, the second best thing, or maybe even the best thing, would be being the general manager of a professional sports franchise. What is being the GM of the Rivercats like?
That's a great question. Some days I don't know, but it is. It's a lot of fun. You know, deep down when I was finishing college and wanted to work in sports, it was still that 12-year-old boy inside of me that said, hey, it's cool to go to a ballpark. Yeah. And so when that opportunity to work for a ball club came and eventually reach a goal of being a general manager, I still remind myself, man, it's pretty cool to walk on the field. It's pretty cool. We were just talking about Pablo Sandoval during the break. It's pretty cool to be down in the dugout next to him, talking to him, hearing some of the other guys, Hunter Pence, when he came through. There's times I still have to pinch myself and realize I'm working.
Yes, I can only imagine. You decided, I mean, you were a ball player yourself, and your journey began with you volunteering for a job, a task within an organization, and that kind of got you recognized. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, that story was day one of my very first internship with a minor league baseball team, junior year of college. I was the last intern to start because of baseball that summer. So a guy came down and said, hey, I've got a task, but it's not glamorous, it's not fun, so I'm not going to tell you what it is, but who wants to volunteer? And I said, well, I'm the new guy, so I'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
It was digging a ditch in June in the Chicago area. So with the humidity, it wasn't glamorous at all, digging a trench to lay some electrical conduit down. But to your point, our general manager came out that day, started digging the ditch right next to me, told me who he was and thanked me and told me I wouldn't have to do any type of work like that moving forward. So it was a great lesson in stepping up and being a leader on my very first day in minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's that kind of philosophy, I suppose, that's led you through your career. I'd like to maybe flash back into, where did you develop those philosophies? We develop a lot of them, I know, on the athletic field, but where else, and including the athletic field, did you develop your banging philosophy, your winning philosophies?
Yeah, as we talked the other day, I think it goes back to how I was raised in a single parent family. Mom was on welfare, raising three boys. And so anytime we had a chance to work, we had to. And so it was just ingrained, hey, you're part of the family, you work to support each other. And so then that carried on to, you know, what do you do with high school and grades and opportunities to get scholarships? So there wasn't an opportunity to slack off. So that certainly propelled me as I started into my career. And then I was looking for opportunities to step up, to stand out. I was absolutely blessed when I was in Frisco, Texas, northern suburb of Dallas, to work with a group of guys that are running NFL franchises, NBA franchises, working in league offices throughout sports. And I quickly learned there, you have a choice to make. You can hang out with some of your peers who just are happy to be there, or you can hang out with the leaders. You can surround yourself with people that'll make you better, that'll challenge you. And that's what I chose to do at that point. And those guys today continue to be mentors, to be friends, to hold me accountable and check in and make sure I'm doing things to better my staff as well.
You told me the other day that you like the quote, A players attract A players. It sounds like that's what happened in those earlier years, is you got surrounded by on a team with A players, and each of you has gone on to great careers. And how has that philosophy transferred to your role at the Rivercats?
Yeah, I stole that line from Steve Jobs.
Oh,
A talent attracts.
You got to steal it from somebody. It might be Steve's fine.
not a bad guy. Pretty smart. But A talent attracts A talent. And I also look at the Olympics. We talked about Justin and I both have wives that are very talented marathon runners. And so when I'm watching the Olympics every 4 years, new records are set all the time. And how does that happen? When you have the best competing against the best, it brings you to a new level. And so that's what we try and do here in Sacramento with the Rivercats. I want to make sure that we're finding the best possible talent that we can get. We're bringing them in together and creating, when we're talking about building a team, creating a team that does want to learn, they want to listen, they want to surround themselves with the best. And then the synergy takes over and we start moving in a good direction.
It's interesting when we come into a new position. You've been with the Rivercats about 5 years, is that right?
Yep.
And so you come in, and obviously the Rivercats are a beloved team here in Sacramento, but you had to make some tough changes. What happened?
Yeah, man, culture manages more than managers do. And that's, I love that quote, and I tell that to my leadership team all the time. And again, I'll talk more about leadership than management because I think that that's so much more important. The Sacramento Rivercats have been so successful for so long. And this is the fifth minor league team I've worked with. Everybody else looks up to Sacramento. So when I came here, I had this idea that, hey, everything would be great. I just get to take over and try and make a few tweaks and tinker here and there. But the culture was bad, and we had to make some very tough decisions. There were people that had been around for a long time. There were some new people. Tried to bring new people into a culture, and I made the mistake of thinking, I'm a great leader, and they're going to want to follow me no matter what the culture says.
Well, you are a great leader. Didn't work?
No, it didn't work at all. Not good enough. So the reality was we had to really burn down the barn and get rid of some rat in a way. And from our sales and marketing team, there's three people left from when I started, but we've got some awesome leaders in place now and guys and gals, and I'm excited to work with them to help them continue to progress with their career, hopefully with the Rivercats, but if not, then it's my job to help them progress somewhere else too.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about somebody that you helped who you had invested into your time. It had been a successful contributing member of the Rivercats team, and you went out and helped them to advance their career with another organization. Why?
Yeah, that's my promise to our staff, and sometimes it hurts, but if you take that approach that you know you're going to develop leaders and develop people, they're going to be extremely loyal to you. And so instead of the fear of, you know, what's going to happen, and if I'm actually, do you want to look for a job, will Chip fire me if he finds out? I want to flip it. I want them to tell me about their goals, and I want to try and help them achieve those. It's not easy giving somebody on your staff, giving their name to a recruiter, but at the same time, when they know you're doing that, your staff knows, they're so loyal to you, and they're going to run through a wall, and they're going to help develop people underneath them as well.
And I'm thinking about the organization of the Rivercats. There's so many facets. Obviously, you've got the team, and I'm not sure of the structure, but I know that it's teams working with teams. So allowing these teams to work independently, but still helping one another where you have them working interdependently so everything doesn't run back up to Chip with every small decision. How do you put these teams together so they work interdependently?
You know, that starts at the top, and I'll give Susan Savage credit as our owner. When her husband passed away and she took over, she got advice, don't try and do it all. Let your managers manage, make sure people go through the chain of command. And we still continue that. And that's one of the toughest things for me is when I know of a situation, to not go directly to what's happening, to not bypass my leaders, my managers, and go directly and handle the situation, but to trust them, to empower them to make the decisions, to talk through decision-making with them, and to evaluate afterwards. And it's hard, but again, I give Susan credit. She's really the one that pushed me and has forced me to really embrace that concept as well. And again, people respond to that when you give them the opportunities, the empowerment.
Yeah, it's all about leadership, and I think in building teams, trust is one of the key ingredients that goes into, you know, building a winning team, building a championship. We're going to ask Chip to stick around, and when we come back from the break, we will talk a little bit more about the Rivercats and what he is building and what professional sports franchises mean to the Sacramento region. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by the general manager of the Sacramento Rivercats, Chip Maxson. Chip, we've been talking about the Rivercats. You brought up ownership. Talk to us about the ownership in a little bit more detail with the Sacramento Rivercats. It's a great team, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic team and great owners here. And what really attracted me to this opportunity in Sacramento 5 years ago was Jeff and Susan Savage, the ownership, the vision that they had. And I think that vision is so important. I once had a gentleman in this room tell me that vision's great, but it's important to let people know where you're at along that process. We've really tried to take that to heart and share that with our staff. And that's exactly what Jeff and Susan did with me a few years ago. They talked about, here's who the Rivercats are, here's where they were, here's the direction that we're going, and here's where we're at right now. That helped me understand my place and my role with the organization and what my job was to help continue to move us along. I think the worst thing about minor league baseball is our name, minor league. People think less. So that puts a little chip on my shoulder, a chip on chip, if you will, where we want to make sure that we're doing things bigger, better, above and beyond what other teams are doing. You know, we want to compare ourselves to some of the big league teams, too. And so the importance of ownership is giving you an opportunity to explore some of those areas, try new things, and really take a holistic approach to what a sports team is. It's more than just baseball on a field. It's family-friendly entertainment. We were talking about that at the break. It's fun. It's safe. But then it's a place that can bring the community together and really can give back and bless the community as well.
And tell me more about the holistic approach. Can you define what that is? In baseball?
Yeah, in baseball, it can be a lot of things to a lot of people. For us here with the Rivercats, it's thinking beyond Sacramento Rivercats baseball. It's thinking more about Raleigh Field, but then outside of Raleigh Field as well. In the West Sac community, the greater Sacramento area, there's the development side. You know, what's going to be built around the ballpark? The Bridge District, West Sacramento is doing a great job developing the Bridge District. There's plans to bring some mixed-use stuff in around the ballpark. That's going to be key to our future, to entertainment when people come out. People like that urban setting. They like mixed-use. They don't want to go far for their entertainment. And so the more we can bring around the ballpark, the better off that we can be. On our front, it's also, we only have 71 ball games. So what are you doing the rest of the year?
Good point,
You know, we talked about, we've done a great job doing some Mexican League soccer games. We've done great jobs with concert. Had one this spring, looking at a potential concert this fall. Keeping the facility busy year-round. That's a holistic approach and something we have to do.
Well, you are an anchor there in West Sac along the river, and there's so much growth that is happening on your side of the river, but it's beginning to happen on the other side as well, with keeping the Kings here, and then just today they've announced they're starting to move dirt around over there at the rail yards. What do you envision for that entire region?
The vision's great, and I continue to see the development similar to cities like Charlotte. You look at Austin and what they're doing. You look at Portland's emergence over the last few years. These are some similar markets, and why can't Sacramento do the same thing? Why can't we have a strong downtown core? We don't let the river divide us. We play on both sides. We work, we live on both sides. Become a greater region, GSAC. The vision there. And how can we bring it all together? So it's exciting to see the rail yards, West Sacramento, downtown, everything that's going on.
You bet. And I think this is an entrepreneurial opportunity in the making, is people like the Savages and the Kevin Nagels of the world and the Warren Smiths and the Vivex, the people that have invested into these major properties. It makes huge opportunity for the rest of us small business guys. So, we got to tip our hats to these people that are putting their money out there and making these investments.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, and it's something that is, as we look at the future, how can we continue to diversify? We're relying on some other people, too, to bring some of these new projects into West Sacramento along the river there. And again, the city's been great to work with. Some of the people you talked about, guys like yourself on the small business front, we need that, too. We need them to come in and start up cool, exciting businesses that people want to participate and interact with.
You bet. Now, I want to jump back into Chip Maxson on the personal side. Mm-hmm. We talk about A players, attracting A players, and your wife is an A player. Allison is what? A plus. She's a world-class athlete, and who attracted who in that scenario?
She says she ignored me for a few months, but I finally chased her down. Yeah, she ran at the Olympic trials a couple years ago down in L.A. for the marathon. Very talented runner. She was 10th in 2014, 10th U.S. woman at the Chicago Marathon. So extremely talented there. And day one when I saw her, I said, I got to get to know this girl. There's something special about her.
Well, Justin Booth, our next guest, his wife is also a serious marathon runner. And I know you both help your wives to train in their specific areas. What do you do to help your wife train again? I know you have a program that you work out with her.
Yeah, I make sure she's eating pizza and drinking wine with me at the end of the night. But it's funny. She'll go out and run. And Justin, we were just talking about this too. We'll start with our wives. We'll get them up in the morning and get started on a run. We'll run our 3 or 4 miles. They'll finish with 14. But then the other day, my wife had me out in the track where she was doing 1,000-meter repeats, running 1,000 meters at a sub-6-minute pace. Then she would have me finish the last 200 meters with her.
Oh, really, that last 200 meters. You're fresh again. You've had your Starbucks or whatever, and now you go run the last little bit.
Easy for me. Pushes her, and yeah, I always have to make sure that she beats me, and that's not hard for her to do.
Yeah, let her beat you on that last 200 meters. Look, any closing thoughts for entrepreneurs in Sacramento as they think about building their teams and working on a culture the way you've done it there with the Rivercats?
Yeah, I'd say, hey, I'll do a shameless plug of come join us. You know, we've got some great business memberships that we've created with year-round opportunities for specifically for the business person to network, and especially that small business person. It could be obviously, it could be games during the season, but then we do some great events in the off season under the lights, cool event on the field. We do some partner wine tasting events that we like bringing people together. It's all about networking, getting to know each other. And selfishly for us, it helps us grow our brand. The more we can interact, the more people we get involved, buying into the ticket side, the suite side, the partnership side, the more fun things that we can do as well. So give me a call and let's talk Rivercats opportunities.
Help build your team. Help build your culture by going down to Raleigh Field, hanging out with Chip Maxson, the Sacramento Rivercats. That's how you do it here in Sacramento. When we return, we're going to be talking to Justin Booth. He's a man that recently bought, just a few years ago, a restaurant supply company, Crown Distributing. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of the accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by a man who has built an incredible team and a fast-growing restaurant supply company. I'm talking about Justin Booth, the owner and president of Crown Distributing. How you doing, Justin?
I'm banging,
Mark. You are banging. You are at your very... Now, what's banging for Justin Booth? What are you doing when you're at your very best, your very best opportunity?
Yeah, when we're banging...
Besides radio show.
When we're banging at Crown Distributing, we're out meeting with customers. We're meeting with new customers, building relationships with existing customers, out meeting with vendors. We're always looking at new vendors to buy products from, meeting with new vendors, existing vendors. So we're out trying to integrate ourselves with the Sacramento community as much as possible.
Well, you said that, I heard somewhere that you are the fork in the farm to fork movement. What does that mean?
So kind of give you a little bit of backstory is I bought Crown 3 years ago from the couple that founded Crown Distributing. At the time, I saw this movement happening in Sacramento that was really cool. I could see that transition from city of trees to farm to fork going on in Sacramento. And Sacramento was really building this tremendous identity. And an opportunity presented itself where we could be a part of that, my family and I. And I just leapt for it. I just wanted to be a part of it. And the farm to fork movement in Sacramento is real. It's happening. It's redeveloping Sacramento as a whole and the whole entire region. And so while Crown Distributing is not the one that brings the actual farm products to the customers, they got to have that fork to use.
You got to have the utensils. You got to have something. I eat with my hands, but it's kind of awkward.
Well, we do bring you the napkins, the napkins that you need.
Well, you know what? I mean, you are... an example of the reason why I started this radio show. This is about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs inspire me. So being around guys like you inspire me. And what I mean by that is when you started your business, as I heard the story about the way that you started your business, right? You were working corporate in a real estate entity,
yeah, exactly.
And you decided to quit that without Crown in your vision.
Yeah.
So you decided to quit because you wanted to become an entrepreneur. What happened?
Yeah, more or less, you know, it was kind of a point in my life where it was either now or never. And you just have to make that leap and you have to go for it. And I, you know, talking about teamwork and the Rivercats and whatnot, you know, I grew up playing sports all my life and I just love that camaraderie with the team that you build. And I just kind of found in corporate America, I use corporate America loosely, but you know, it just kind of, there's really no team building. And I just felt like I could really lead a group of people, and I wanted to be a part of that team. So I came home one day, I told my wife, I really want to be an entrepreneur, and it's now or never. And I asked her, I said, can we sell our house? Can we sell our cars? Can we do everything we can to follow this entrepreneurial dream of mine? And she agreed, and here we are three years later.
Well, you know, that's amazing, because most of the time I would recommend to somebody that they might try the monkey bar theory. You still got a hold of the other monkey bar before you, before you grab onto the next one. You let go, and you found Crown Distributing. And how much time did it take you to find Crown?
It wasn't that long. It was. I got really lucky, but spending my background in the real estate field, I saw so much of this that was going on in Sacramento, like everything that was happening down in the River District in West Sac around the River Cats. And right about that time, we saw that the Kings were going to stay in Sacramento and going to go downtown.
That means more restaurants, entertainment,
and
so
on. I just knew Sacramento was just going to start to really explode, and we're just on the verge of that right now. And so when this opportunity presented itself, I just knew it was absolutely made for us.
You think about the impact that the Sacramento Kings staying can happen. Oh, well, it happened, it affected a Crown Distributing, and it affected so many other businesses that you might not even see beyond the restaurant, which means jobs and other economic growth. And so, you know, you talked about team, though, and the topic for today is about building teams and the culture. And as I walk through Crown Distributing, I couldn't help but feel a camaraderie. Talk to us about how that was built.
Like I said before, I just wanted to be a leader again and be in a position where I could lead a group of people. And one of the guys that works for me just the other day mentioned, and kind of passing as someone else was visiting us, that, you know, he doesn't view me as a boss per se, but more as a leader. And that was the biggest compliment that I could get from
Well, your father-in-law, I know, is one of your key players over there. I asked him, what's your take on Justin? And he said that you are not afraid.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That meant a lot. When we kind of dove into the ownership of Crown, it was pretty slim around there at the beginning, and my father-in-law was a huge asset for me, and he stood beside me there. But, you know, we were in the trenches together at the very beginning, and it meant a lot for him to recognize that and to know that, you know, I lead without fear. I try and lead the guys the best way I can. And
you're one of those guys that sort of rolls up his sleeves and gets in the game versus barking out orders?
Yeah,
or are you more barker?
I'll do it all. I mean, you know, when you get into when you step yourself into every single person's role, then you know why processes are put in place and things are done certain ways. And I find that for me, leading, that's the best way to do it, is to not only do it by example, but be in their shoes and try and put myself in my guys' shoes.
Where did your philosophies come from?
You know, it's so much of what I draw on these days comes from sports. It's just growing up playing every single sport possible, and you know, you just find that the harder you worked in sports growing up, the better you got.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened by chance. Nothing was ever handed to you. Nothing was ever given to you. It's all been hard work, so that's what I really draw.
We can learn so much from the baseball diamond or the football field or the track. It's an individual sport at times, I guess, but your wife, you know, we talked about this earlier with Chip, your wife's a serious marathon runner, and I think yours is a unique story where she's from Florida originally. Yeah. Her family is from Florida. They moved to retire out in California. That's kind of weird. We're actually recruiting Floridians to Sacramento. How did you pull that off?
Well, I got lucky. It was,
are you a good salesman, or how did that work out?
Yeah, I got really lucky. My in-laws moved out once they knew that we had kids on the way, and they played a huge part. And so they did originally come
good
out to
move,
retire.
Have the kids.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're working with me.
That's fantastic. Now, you are also a baseball coach. Do you use your talk to us about the baseball team that you coach. It's a pretty high-level team, am I correct?
Well, I wouldn't say super high-level. It's six-year-olds, so...
Do you think your team could beat Marcus's team? That's
what I
want to know.
We talk about it all the time. We're
the Yankees, man. You want to watch that?
What's the name of your team?
The Rattlers.
Oh, the Rattlers. Yeah. Well, I think the Rattlers sound like they'd eat the Yankees alive.
No, I loved coaching, though. It's awesome. It's so much fun being out there with the kids. It brings you back to your childhood growing up and what's really important at the end of the day.
So how do you divide up your time? We talk so much about building businesses, and it's so easy to get locked into your business, and you get sort of spread too thin. You're doing a little bit of everything, and you don't have a serious impact maybe on anything. How do you divide up the resources and your time specifically at Crown Distributing?
Well, you have to find more hours in the day when you're an entrepreneur, that's for sure. You start waking up earlier and going to bed a little later than you ever did before. You know, I try and empower everybody that I work with. I don't want to be just barking out orders. I want to give them the opportunity to make decisions that ultimately will lead Crown in the right way. You know, I help them with that, but I try to empower them. And everyone at Crown has really stepped up over the last couple of years and taken on much larger roles. And, you know, we've had guys that have gone from simply being a driver to now managing our entire fleet.
Wow. Yeah, you guys have grown fast.
Yeah, we've more than doubled in size in the last year or so.
What's the key to that growth?
You know, it's hard work. It's all it comes down to. It's just hard work. It's
so
hard.
Underrated, huh? Hard work. Yeah, would you know it?
There's absolutely nothing that can replace it. It's hard work and getting to know your industry and your products. It's hard work of getting out there and meeting people and meeting your customers. It's all comes back to hard work.
Yeah, and just kind of we're getting close to wrapping up here, but just any final thoughts or words of wisdom from one entrepreneur to another? How should we go about attacking our business in this day and age?
You know, I think to so many people that want to be an entrepreneur, but there's never that perfect time. There never is going to be a perfect time. You just have to go for it.
Get in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Just get in the game. And then to, like you said about the impact that the King Sting here has, it's a ripple effect. And so to all the other entrepreneurs here in Sacramento, you know, let's do our best to keep it Sacramento. Let's look out for our fellow Sacramentans. And the effect will be so large, when we're all said and done, it's the way to go.
Let's look out for our fellow Sacramentans. Justin Booth, love it. Congratulations on your success. Proud to have you on our show.
Thank you.
Show. You are what entrepreneurship is all about. I want to thank Chip Maxson as well for coming on the show. And you know what? I'm going to kick it over to Caroline Gaines. You're still let me wake up Caroline over there. Caroline, we got our sponsors. You know, give a little shout out, if you don't mind, to some key sponsors that we need to recognize today.
I am awake and alive.
Natta girl, let's do this.
All right. Special thank you to James Beckwith and Five Star Bank, the entrepreneurial bank, our neighbor and friend Luke Smith at Audi Rockland, and John O'Bronson with Hub International.
Ah, nice. Now, sometimes people want a little more Mark Haney. Some people don't. And, you know, you got to go on. You always come down to our Rockland office. But how can they get a little more Mark Haney or Caroline Gaines-Toth or Marcus Haney? How do you get in touch with us?
Well, come visit us in Rockland, and we are all over social media. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, we want to know you.
And how's our culture? You know, Haney Biz is hiring, and how's the culture here? We've got, I don't know how many positions open at Haney Biz. We've got, 13 companies, and we're always looking for people that have that hard work ethic of a Justin Booth, but know how to work together as a team. Talk to us a second about the culture here, and are there any key positions you're looking for today?
Yes. And I would say our culture is like no other. So much fun. We work hard, really hard, and we play hard, and we're a big family. So big team over here.
Work hard, play hard. Yeah. We have technical positions, sales positions, accounting positions, reception. There's all kinds of stuff happening at Haney Biz. Come be a part of us. Come
Absolutely.
By. Even if it's just to say howdy, we want to meet you. Next week, we have, it's going to be a big show. We have Sean Shepard. He's the guy that founded GrowthX. And we also have a guy that founded a company called Black Rifle Coffee. Mr. Jared Taylor will be joining us. So join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about our closing thoughts. This show is brought to you by Ethan Conrad Properties. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you by Silver's HR. I'm Mark Haney, and today we have been talking with the experts in culture, teamwork, and winning chemistry. And I'm back here with Marcus Haney and Caroline Toth Gaines. What were your takeaways today as we talked about teamwork, as we talked about chemistry, as we talked about building a culture? Oh, who's going to jump in here? Caroline, jump
ahead.
In.
Okay, so something I loved with when Justin Booth was talking was he went all in. And yeah. I have a mad respect for somebody that goes all in, 2 feet,
No question. Yeah, he went all in a way that most people would not. No, I'm a monkey bar guy. I want to go all in when I've got a little surety at the other side. Yeah. I've kind of at least got the other one in grasp, you know, the other bar. But he went all in without that. He went to his wife, the marathon runner. Mama, is it okay if we invest? And she said yes. The boss said yes.
Not the blessing.
And he went ahead. But you know what? He's working hard to make it happen in the restaurant supply industry. Marcus, takeaways from today?
Yeah, no doubt. Love Justin's story. Love working with him. Him and I are on a few projects together, so great guy to work with. But I also liked hearing from Chip and how he built his team around there at the River Cats by letting people do what they do best. And I think as entrepreneurs, a lot of times, we want to get hands-on with all aspects of the business, but really taking a step back and letting the people who you put in place operate at a high level and giving them the confidence to go out there like the Sacramento Republic are doing with the city of Sacramento and the MLS, I think that's a huge step for entrepreneurs.
No question. You know, when I meet a teammate or an entrepreneur or a person that's got the ambition that one of our guests have, I see opportunity. I look for the strength because everybody is good at something and none of us is great at everything, but we all have some gift. And I think if we look beyond maybe what is obvious to look for what is special and unique, that can help build those teams. Just like the Bad News Bears, they had some misfits and different kinds of strengths, but they found a way to bring those together. And I think when the team begins to believe the way you were talking about with the Republic, Marcus, the Kings stay here, the River Cats, making such an impact here in our community, and that makes the rest of us as entrepreneurs decide to kind of go all in on Sacramento. And I think some of it is just about that confidence, and that's so key. But everybody's got strength, and I think we learn a lot of that. It was said today that we learn a lot of that maybe on the athletic field at those younger ages, and being on a championship team can sort of breed that expectation in yourself. And I think my love for building companies was inspired on the diamond, on the football field. And I think so many of us kind of fall into that category because there's no better feeling than being on a championship team. And a quick story is, you know, I coached a championship team or two myself, and I was coaching you, Marcus, on a championship team. We had won Northern California. We advanced to Washington, and I just remember getting ready to travel to the state of Washington for the Western Regional Championships, and I think you were 16, and I can only reflect back to my days as a 15-year-old All-Star when we went to the final game of the Western Region, ended up losing to Hawaii, but it was that experience and that camaraderie as we won the state that really was so memorable for a lot of us. And it made me think back to my time as we were getting ready to ship off to Washington, get on the plane. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go visit my old coach. And moreover, I'm going to go visit his wife, who had a huge impact on our team that had gone to the championships. And I knew that she had been sick and she had cancer, and I decided, well, I'm going to make, now that I'm thinking about that 15-year-old year, I'm going to go make a visit to Charlene. And I knocked on the door, and John, the coach, my old coach, mentor, answered the door, and I said, hi, I just wanted to say hi to Charlene. And he said, now's not a good time, and he shut the door. Wow. And I was like, wow, I didn't know what to do. So I went to my office, and I wrote a letter, and I was getting ready to go to Washington. I figured I'd drop off the letter before I go. I knew things probably weren't too good, and I handed him the letter, or actually, I put the letter in the mailbox, and a day later, we got on the plane to Washington. That day, got the news that Charlene had passed away, and I remember feeling this dilemma of, do I continue with the trip? I've taken these young men to this point of championship, and now we're going to win it all. And as I got to Washington with the team, we decided to go. And as I got to Washington, I realized that the funeral was set for the day of our semifinal game. And I had this dilemma. If we continue to win in Washington, would I go back for Charlene's funeral, or would I stay to coach the young men that I had been coaching all season? well, it didn't matter if we lost quickly, and we continued to play and we continued to win. And I just remember going before the championship game, we were continuing to win before the semifinals, and after the game, we had this celebration, and I gathered the team around, and I gave them the news. I said, guys, I'm going home. And I was like, what? What's going on? And I had to tell them that I was going back for the funeral of the wife of the coach that had led us to the championships like that, what they were playing in today. So we left the team in good hands, and I came back for the funeral. And as I got into the funeral, when I got home, I noticed it was a very somber environment. But I looked around the room. The preacher got up to talk, and as I looked around, he was talking. And guess who I saw? I saw all my old players, right? The old players were all there, and the coaches from the other teams. And it's like, wow, my youth had sort of flashed back to remember a person that had made such an impact on all of us. And as the preacher got up to talk, he got to the very end after about 10 or 15 minutes worth of talking, and nobody else got up to talk. And I'm like, wow, I think everybody was too sad to talk. And at the very end, he said, as we close out today, I'd like to read a letter from a young man who obviously had deep affection for Charlene. I'm going to read it to you now. Dear Charlene, call me Charlene. I can still remember the first time you insisted that I call you Charlene and not Mrs. Wallace. We were on your front porch making homemade ice cream about 31 years ago. I had shown up early for Kevin or Jerry's birthday party, and you were the only one home. You allowed me to add the salt, turn the crank as we got to know each other better. I had never tasted homemade ice cream before, and I had certainly never felt as warm of a feeling from a friend's parent as I felt after spending time with you that afternoon. As we wrapped up the project, I told you, thanks, Mrs. Wallace, and then you gave me a big hug, and you said, call me Charlene. I'll never forget those words, that hug, or the other hugs you've given me throughout the years. Within a year, we moved out of the old neighborhood. Next hug I remember was that about 5 years later, that 15-year-old All-Star year at Renfrew Field. Yeah, it was quite a year. John was coaching, and I was an outfielder that really hadn't contributed offensively or defensively to a huge extent. I was a role player, but during that final tournament, I was fortunate enough to make some good, kind of lucky plays toward the end of each game. I think I surprised a few people, particularly myself, but you called me a hero. Hero Haney, I truly felt like a hero. That was an incredible summer. You made all the players and all the families feel like one big family, and you made another lasting impression on me. Years later, when my mom had arthritis, you were there for her, and you have continued to be there for her and my family through her brain surgery and rehab. You have been there when things were roughest, and you continue to be there for all of us. The hug you gave me at my dad's burial was the best hug I'd had in my life. That hug somehow told me, without words, that you knew everything I was feeling. It was a long and steady hug, and I wish I could have stayed in your arms all afternoon. I felt safe. I feel an incredible amount of gratitude toward you for all you've done for me and my family. Our world is a better place because of you, Charlene. You are my hero. I've been thinking about you every day, and I guess you're probably going to heaven before I do. But I'm not as scared to die as I once was, because I know you'll be there. I picture myself saying, I've missed you, Mrs. Wallace. And then you'll give me a big hug and whisper in my ear, call me Charlene. You know what? As I think about what we take away from the practice field about how to build teams, as we take away from the playing field, how to build teams, you know what? Those earlier impressions, those key people that add that every, those little pieces of information and that ingredient that is so important in building championship teams. And I call it love. You know, as we build chemistry, you need to sprinkle in a little bit of love. I think every championship team knows that everybody matters, and it takes a little bit of love to bring the championships to bear. So as we close out today, may we share a sacramental salute to the town we love and the teams we love, to the leaders of hometown patriotism, Justin Booth and Chip Maxson, two men building incredible cultures, and they both understand that everyone matters. And to those fighting for our freedom, security, and our hometown way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 15 stars, and to the one team in America always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.